Just a quick one before the podcast starts. We are doing a live event featuring a band, The Sway, and comedian Tom Keegan on the 26th of January at Phase 1. And Michael's going to tell you where you can find tickets.
Get tickets in the link below. They're on all our links across all our platforms. It's going to be a heavy night. Tickets are only cheap. We're doing a quiz. It's going to be a cash prize. Get yourself down there.
And just to add, the link will be in the description. It'll also be on our Instagram. And if you want to type in the 10 pint quiz night, it'll also be on Skiddle.
Get
yourself down there for some sports and music quiz and some boss tunes and some boss comedian as well.
Yes.
Hello and welcome back to the 10th Pint Podcast. We're here with me, Lucas Normal, and Beefham.
Yes, lad.
And today we've got very special guest, footballer Lee Peltier. How are we, mate?
I'm Sean, lad. You?
Yeah, good, thanks. Good. So thanks for coming down. So we normally get started off with, so what was your first memory of football and when did you sort of like fall in love with the game?
You know what, I was quite late coming into footy. I didn't start playing until I was about 9. And that was only because like the lads in the street, we just moved out. I just moved into like a road where there was loads of kids.
Yeah.
And the lads used to knock on the house and say, "You're coming out for footy." And I never played before. So I used to go out and just have a little knock around with them. And then they got me involved in their team and stuff like that. And then from there, just I weren't in grassroots for that long.
Yeah.
To be fair, I must have played about half the season and then I got picked up by Tramier.
Yeah. What age was that at?
I must have been about 9, 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, at that age. And then I only done about a year or two at Tramier. Can't remember that long ago. But then Liverpool and like Everton and all that come into me I'd signed for Tramier, so I went to Liverpool.
Were you the fullback as a kid?
No, I was midfielder, you know.
Was he?
Yeah, I was centre mid. So all the way up until about, I'd say until about 16, 17, I used to play either centre mid or centre back.
Yeah.
Mm. And then when I got like into the first team and made my debut, it was at like right back. So now I'm always a fullback now.
Yeah. Who did you support as a kid then?
Always supported Liverpool. Yeah. All my family support Liverpool. So I was a big red, still am.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was... Great.
Is that what you signed for them running over Everton?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
And to be fair, they at the time they made like a big fuss over me and like really wanted me to sign, and they were taking me in to see the like they knew Steve McManaman was my hero.
Yeah.
Like I love Steve McManaman, and like they used to take me into Melwood and to meet Steve McManaman, Paul Ince and all that. And that was when I was young. The memories I have.
So who was in like your team at Liverpool then, like the academy when you were like playing for them?
What do you mean? Who's gone on to make a career or just in
general?
Do you know what? Danny Guffey. I don't know if you can remember him.
Newcastle.
Yeah, he went Newcastle and played at Bolton and went to Reading. He had a good career. He come in late on. He got signed from Man United. He went a scouser though.
Yeah, I was going to ask that then.
Yeah, he went a scouser. He was Callum Woods. Don't know if you know him.
No, no.
Callum Woods, he's a scouser. He's from Anfield. Where did he go on to? He played a lot of games for Preston. He's only recently retired the past few years. Who else? Adam Hamill.
I don't know
if you can remember him.
Did he play for Barnsley?
Yeah, he played for Barnsley.
I've got a bit of a mad story about him, actually. Right, when he was a kid, we went to some football presentation when I was like 8 at the Copper House, and he was there for some reason. And everyone was playing like with the crossbar, and everyone was asking him how much money he earned and that, like how much all these kids around him were fascinated by him, but he was sound like
he was off his head, Adam. He's a good kid though, and he's a good player as well. I think he got a good move to like Wolves or somewhere.
Yeah, after, he did. Yeah, I think it was around like 09, something like that.
Yeah.
Mick McCarthy might have been there, something like that. Yeah.
Who else was there? Weren't that many others, you know, that made it through from my team.
Yeah. It says on your wiki you made your debut against Reading in the League Cup. What was that like then?
Absolutely unbelievable. It was like a surreal experience.
Yeah.
Obviously being from Liverpool and being a big Liverpool supporter and walking out in Anfield.
So was that Benitez then who gave you your debut?
Yeah, Rafa it was, yeah.
What was he like as like a manager then?
Did you a lot of people say he's cold, don't they?
Yeah, like,
he didn't
really like speak to you much. It was just like, you weren't scared, but it was just like, awkward, you didn't know like
Like, was he not in, like, an intimidating manager? No,
he weren't intimidating, but like he was just more like an awkward sort of.
He didn't know what to say to him,
though. Yeah, like,
do you think that might be because you were like a young lad, though, as well, at the same time?
I don't know. I think it, obviously a few people have said the same thing, so it might have just been his personality, the way he was. But as I say, like, as a young lad coming through, you're scared to speak to anyone anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You'd just be like, oh, dead nervous and whatever. But yeah, he went that talkative or whatever. He'd just be like, yeah, Peltier, you play. Sound, yeah. Yeah.
Was there any players in that squad who sort of looked after you then in the first team?
Yeah, it was like, I remember for a bit, like when I used to travel with him, Steve Finnum was my roommate for a bit. Like, yeah. I used to share a room with him and he was class. And obviously, I had like Carrer and like Gerrard, and because they were scousers as well, they used to like look after you. Yeah. And Sissoko, there was quite a few, like Pennant, there was quite a few that I used to sort of get on well with and used to look after me.
Yeah, so did you sort of get promoted to the first team and to train with them in that after that, like sort of breaking into the first team and getting to Reading?
Yeah, it was like in and out, to be fair. Like, obviously, at that time in football, you used to have like a reserve team, didn't you?
Yeah.
Now you don't have that. You have like under-23s. But like the reserves used to train just on like the next pitch to the first team. Mm. And then like our started, like when they needed a player, they used to shout over, we need like two or three players. And they used to go, yeah, and everyone would be like buzzing. But then I remember it was the pre-season for the first team. I remember I was away. And a fella called Frank McPartland, his name was, texted me and said, listen, you need to get yourself back. You're starting with the first team. Like, and that's when it become like proper. And I never forget, I was absolutely shit myself. Like, yeah. I was like, oh my God, I'm going back in here with the first team. And I couldn't stop thinking about it. But anyway, that season is when I made my debut, yeah.
So was it like Matt going into training and playing alongside like Gerrard, Carragher and players like
lad,
that?
It was mental. Like, you can, like a young lad from Liverpool, and I'm sitting there next to Gerrard and all them, and I was like absolutely petrified, scared. And I can just remember my first day going in. I just didn't know where to sit, didn't know what to do. Do you know what I mean? It was mad, but they were all great, to be fair. Yeah.
People say like, I think Peter Couch had on a podcast where your first touch in training as a Liverpool player. Yeah. Like, if you didn't do it well, like, Gerrard stared at you or something, he said.
Like, the level's, like, different, like, next level.
Would you say he's the best Gerrard in training? Was he, like, always on? Yeah. Like, yeah.
Him and Alonso were just ridiculous.
Was he there as well at the time, Alonso was there,
but, like, Gerrard was unbelievable. And even Carragher, like, obviously he weren't as talented as Gerrard, but the work he put in every single day, he was just relentless in training.
Yeah.
So they were both great and both in two different ways. But like, I remember the first pass, the way they pass is just different. The noise of a pass is just like, you're just like a pop on a ball. It's like pop.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my God, this is coming at me. you'd absolutely be like, you'd try and hide a little bit from the ball and that. You know, if you had a bad touch or whatever.
Yeah.
No, but it was great times, yeah.
Yeah, and then you made your next appearance against Galatasaray in the Champions League.
Yeah.
Walking out to like that Champions League music, and that's like,
that was mental. Do you know what? It's only, you know, you don't at the time you don't really realise what you're doing or achieved. Yeah. And it's only now when I look back and I go, bloody hell, playing the Champions League there, Galatasaray, Istanbul, you know what I mean? Like, and I just look back and I was thinking, like, absolutely unbelievable times.
Yeah.
And it's something like not many people get to do. I mean, that 1% bracket, as they say, people to make it as a footballer. But to play in the Champions League was absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah. Any fear there to think, like, I'm playing in the Champions League here?
Do you know what? Yeah. It's more when you're waiting for the game, do you know what I mean? Like, it's the waiting. But once the whistle goes, now you sort of just forget about everything and play. But as I say, that was absolutely mental. Experience that to go and play in the
Champions. Atmosphere dead hostile there.
Yeah, you can imagine
it. Like, Galatasaray, the fans are absolutely mental. They were just like on cages and that. Like, and I was like looking around, thinking, "What's going on here?"
You noticed that while you're on the pitch,
I did. Like, it weren't normal for me. Like, but for all the other lads, it was like normal. And I'm just like that, looking around. They all like throwing things, like spitting and whatever, and it was just mad.
I seen a boss video on YouTube today of you with a fan. It was a Bournemouth fan, like, throws the ball at you. Then you go like,
oh,
that
yeah, no, no, they tend to throw it back, yeah. I think that was in a playoff game, man. Yeah, he tried to have me off, didn't he? Yeah. I had him right off after that, though.
So we're moving on from Liverpool. So, like, what was the exit from Liverpool? Like, what was the reasons why you moved on?
Do you know what? It was mad because I went on loan. I went on loan to Hull. Hull City, and I don't like the back end of the season then. I loved it, to be fair. And at the end of my loan spell, I think they wanted to sign me. And anyway, it didn't materialise signing for Hull. But when I come back then, they were like, you can sort of... He was bringing in loads of players. I think it was the time when... Who was he bringing in? I think it was like...
Still Benitez, yeah.
Arbeloa and Joshimi and players
Vieira
like that.
And players like that, yeah.
It was just like loads of players. And I think... When you look at it, when he left and Dalglish come in, he just gave loads of the youngsters opportunities, you know what I mean? Where it was a bit different when Rafa was there. But I ended up going on loan to Yeovil, which was mad because it was totally two different contrasts, you know, like absolutely one of the best clubs in the world to like a League One in the middle of Somerset.
Yeah.
Like nowhere by myself. And I went on loan there for the rest of for half a season, the first half of the season. I never forget because it was between Yeovil and Millwall. And at the time, because I'd just got into the first team and all that, I was around Liverpool thinking I was a bit of the boy and that, you know, like going out and all the clubs outside, news bar, walking straight in. And like, I look back at it and I think, you know what, fair play, like, enjoy it, you know what, did. But obviously, probably weren't the right time to do it. I never forget my mum said to me, she said, there's no way you're going to London by yourself. I can imagine, you're lucky now going out all the time in Liverpool. She said, imagine you're in London, you're not going to London, go to Yeovil, get some games into you and just see what happens. So anyway, I went up to Yeovil, which was a mad experience. Never forget the drive there. It's like, it took me about 5 hours to get there. Yeah. It's just never ending. I'm like, when's this going to stop? And it was just, oh mate, it was mad. So I played the first half of the season, then ended up extending my loan for the second half. And then it was mad. It was a great experience, though, because I was up there, I was by myself. It was hard because I was in the middle of nowhere.
You're in a hotel or you're in like an apartment?
Do you know what? Up in Yeovil, there's not much there, you know. So it was mad. I was staying in like this flipping B&B at the side. No, I'll tell you what I like. The first night he said to me, you're staying at this place. It was called, I'll never forget, the Globe. So I was like, sounds, yeah, no problem. So I'd gone training and he said, like, listen, someone will show you where this hotel is.
Yeah.
So I went down there and he stopped at this pub. It was a pub, so packed up and he took me in. He goes, yeah, there's your key in that. You just go up them stairs and staying on the top of a pub. Rang me ma straight away. I said, listen, I'm not staying here. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm staying on the top of a pub. I've just come from Liverpool to stay on the top of a pub. So my head was gone for the first bit. And then I ended up in a not so much better place, but at the side of a restaurant in like this little, it was mad. And then anyway, a few of the younger lads got a house and they had a spare room, so I was able to move in with them, which made it a lot easier for me.
Yeah.
But I never forget, like, first half the season and I got really bad homesick. Like, I was, because I've always been in Liverpool, like, never left Liverpool, love Liverpool. And I was up there and I was just like, I can't do it. And then the manager pulled me in and I sometimes, you know, I was just driving home after training 5 hours. And I was leaving like Liverpool. I was going home just so I was home. Then I'd leave Liverpool at like 5 a.m. to get to training for 9.
You were doing that every day?
Not every day, but when my head was gone.
Yeah.
Do you know, like, people don't realise what it's like for sometimes, like, young players going away, you know, from home, leaving everything behind and like being somewhere they're not comfortable by themselves and stuff like that. And then in the end, the manager came to me and he said, listen, you can't keep doing this. I said, look, I'm going to have to go back then. He said, tell you what, he said, go to Liverpool up until like a Thursday. And then after the Thursdays, on the Thursday, travel up to us and then you've got Thursday, Friday. So I'd done that for a bit until like got myself together, which worked. And I ended up staying there the full season, to be fair.
Yeah, at Yeovil, I was looking on you, you were playing more of us every week there, weren't you? Like consistent football.
Yeah, and that's the great thing as a young player, still young at the time. And I needed the games. I needed the experience. It was a proper men's footy. You know what I mean? I was going to a team where they were fighting for their lives.
Yeah.
They were fighting to pay the mortgages and stuff like that. I'd never seen anything like it. I was used to getting everything done for me. Like, literally.
Yeah.
So it was a great experience and a great learning curve. And I think if I was to give any advice to young kids thinking about going out to play, I'd be like, just go and play. Get the games under your belt and you don't have... come away from it better.
Do you think like a lot of young players now sort of get stuck in between that, like under-23s, sort of youth football still, and then the first team. You see a lot of Everton, don't you? You get loads of players that have played like 30, 40, 50 games for under-21s, and then you just never progress.
I think, me personally, I think the under-23s has killed it a bit. Because I remember when I was coming through, you had your under-18s, and then if you were good enough, you go to the reserves. And then from the reserves, the people who didn't play in the first team of a weekend would play in that reserves game.
Yeah.
I'd be playing in the reserves with like Robbie Fowler and all different sorts of first team players. And you knew you had the standards were high because they were playing in the games. Where now I think the 23s football is like, if you're still playing 23s football, I think it's really hard to go into the league and forge a career. I think you need to go early and just get it out the way and just play. Yeah.
Yeah. Was Nathan Jones the Southampton manager now? He was the assistant to you over where. What was he like?
Well, the first half I played with him. He was in my team.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. So he was obviously a lot older. A lot older than me. But he played left back and I was playing right back.
Oh yeah.
At Yeovil. So I played the first season with him because I'd done two seasons down at Yeovil. So the first season I played with him. And he's a proper boss lad, proper good lad. Still like keeping contact with him now if I see him or a little text or whatever. And never really thought he'd go into the coaching side of it. But obviously when he finished, he did. And by the sounds of it, he's a really good coach and he's done really well for himself.
Yeah, yeah. Well, half like he's been about, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's had some great jobs. I think he was with Gus Poyet for a long time. Then he had a big job at Stoke, didn't he? Done brilliant at Luton. And obviously he's just got that to Southampton now, which is amazing, yeah.
They play us at the weekend at Southampton, don't they? Not looking forward to that.
Who's the best league manager tactically?
Tactically, bloody hell. I've had that many managers. Just from recent times, I'd probably say Slaven Bilic. At West Brom, he was unbelievable. He's a great fella. First and foremost, he was just a great fella.
Yeah.
Like, you stop and you just talk, how are you? How's the family?
Yeah.
How's this? How's that? Do you know what I mean? He was just boss and all the staff. But when I went to West Brom, he had them going, like, he had them flying. And he got promoted to the Prem with them. But I thought his coaching and his tactical play was really, really good.
Yeah. After Yeovil, you went to Huddersfield.
Yeah.
What was it like at Huddersfield then?
Huddersfield was boss, probably the best time of your career.
Yeah.
At the time, I got bought. Lee Clark signed me, the old Newcastle player, Lee Clark.
Yeah.
So he signed me at Huddersfield, and it was boss, mate. They had loads of boss young players. We had a boss team, unbelievable team, and we were in League One at the time, but they had a bit of dough, they had a bit of money, so they were just throwing it and just buying all the best young players and giving them like decent money. So we all thought we were the bollocks, didn't we? And we just absolutely enjoyed it. We were smashing teams every single week. Like, I think we went on a mad run of like 20 odd games unbeaten. We had the unbelievable dressing room and we just had like a laugh. It was class, mate. Mm. And there was a few scousers in there, like Gary Roberts. I don't know if you know him.
Yeah.
Lad from Speed, he's a bit older than me, but he was there. He was just for boss.
Was Jordan Rhodes there at the time?
Yeah, Jordan was there. I would've seen him a couple of weeks ago, and such a boss lad, proper nice lad, best lad. It's one of them. If your daughter come home with him, you'd be like, all day. He's like unbelievable.
And when he was on that run of scoring like loads of goals,
he scored like 40 goals. You know,
a few years ago,
Jordy's just always banging. He's had an unbelievable career.
Yeah,
I never forget like when we just bought him and he was absolutely flying. He was flying in the footy, and we played Tramia at Prenton Park. And I don't know if you should remember him. They had a centre half called Ian Goodison, big Jamaican fella, big dreadlocks.
I think I know him from FIFA.
He was a legend at like Tramia, and Jordan was like ripping him apart, like, and whatever. And this Ian Goodison was a horrible fella, mate. Like, he's just dirty, do you know what I mean? Just went to him, wham! Elbowed him and knocked his two front teeth out. And like, he just went bang, and I never forget, it just went for half time. And he'd come in, and I was like, what's up, Jordan? He looked at me and smiled, like, me teeth in the back of him. Felt sorry for him because he was the nicest fella ever. But Jordan's went on, done it. He's still playing now and he's still scoring, but Remember the times he went on to Blackburn and all that? And
I think he played for Middlesbrough in the Premier League as well. Yeah, done well.
Yeah. Didn't you get to the playoff final for Huddersfield too?
Yeah. Got to the playoffs twice. I mean, two seasons there, got to the playoff semis and the playoff final. And I don't know how we didn't go up with that team. It was just mental. So the first playoff semis was Millwall. And that was just mental. Like, you can imagine down at Millwall semi-final of a playoff. And I just remember bottles were coming in, all the shouts and all that. It was absolutely... I think what it was, when we went to Millwall, we were a young team. And I think we just got intimidated by it. Mm. Like, the atmosphere and all that. Because it was a full house and everyone was going mad. They battered us. And we battered them every other week. But that day, at the Den, they just battered us. And then the next one, we got beat at... I think the final was played at Old Trafford. I think Wembley was getting done up at the time. And we played Peterborough.
Yeah,
and they beat us. I couldn't believe they beat us. And I'll never forget, after that game, we had a few good young players who were a few clubs wanted them.
Yeah,
if we didn't go up because they were ready to move up to the champ. And I'll never forget after the game, Dean Oyle, who was the owner, come up to me and he was like, "Listen, thanks for everything you've done, but we're gonna accept an offer from Leicester for you." Right after the game.
After the game,
he always said to me though, "Listen, if we don't go up, I'll never stand in your way." And I still have a great...
Do you want to move then? Do you want to try and go again for it next season?
No, I wanted to move. I think I wanted to move. I'd done 2 years and I was flying. I was right time. Yeah, it was the right time. And Leicester just got Sven Gunnar Eriksson. And I was like, I can't say no to going to Leicester with Sven. And again, they just had new owners, the owners that are there now, the Thai owners. Mm. And they were having a good go. So I was like, I can't say no to that. And they agreed the fee. And to be fair, Dean stuck to his word and said to me, "Listen, you can go."
Yeah.
And I said, "Top man." Yeah.
Yeah. It says on your wicket for £1 million. Is there any pressure on you when you see transfer fees and that?
Do you know, not really. I think you just leave all that to your agent. They just discuss and whatever. And not really. It's never really. But I think I'll never forget though, because I was still young at the time. This was years ago. And I think it ended up, I think there was all clauses, so it ended up being about 1.2 million or whatever it was. And I never forget thinking, go ahead, lad. At the time, now £1 million was standard. It's like, Daddy Arnie is £1 million. But back then it was like, I never forget thinking, do you know what, £1 million? Go on, you're all right. You know what I mean? But yeah, it was class, mate. Yeah,
what was he like as a manager?
Sven.
Yeah.
Sound, mate. Absolutely. Oh, mate, you wouldn't believe it. I never forget the first pre-season trip we went on. I don't even think he knew my name, to be honest with you. I just brought him in, but he was just dead cool, just dead charismatic. Do you know what I mean? He's a nice fella. And he took us to Sweden on our first pre-season trip. And it was for about 2 weeks. And obviously he's a king over there. Honestly, he was David Beckham. Never forget, we all went out for some food. And we were in this restaurant and there was this group of girls behind us, stunning models and all that. And we were all sat on the table and Sven was just sat there. The waiters come over with a number and said, "Sven, the girls have sent you this number." That's that, you got all young lads in there and he'd give the number to Sven. But it was boss, mate. He didn't last that long there, Sven. But he just went... He just went mad, just signing loads of players, and it just didn't click for him. So after about, I think it was 9 or 10 games or something like that, he got sacked. But he signed he signed Jermaine Beckford, David Nugent, don't know if you remember Gelson Fernandez, Casper Schmeichel. He was signing all big players.
Yeah.
So obviously the club had big expectations because he was signing them and putting them all on good money, and it just didn't work out for them.
But they still getting 30,000 a week.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. Yeah, it was class. Yeah, it was a massive club. Obviously, the training ground then was all right, but they've just got a new facility now that's meant to be even better. But them new owners have just transformed the club and what
seemed like
they
proper invested even in the area too.
Yeah,
no, you never hear anyone have a bad word say about their owners, do you?
No, they're really good owners. I think obviously. The dad, the actual chairman passed away in the helicopter thing. But I always think his son Top, that it was his sort of, it was his club. His dad just over like seeing everything.
Yeah.
So he was like a young lad, and he was just like, you know, like FIFA or whatever. He just buying and signing players. Nah, but they were top, and they, what they've done to that club is absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah. I was looking at one of your goals for Leicester. It's from a corner, like knocked it in. Like, I think it's against Coventry.
Not many. Oh, you found that. I think that was my debut, you know.
Yeah.
Might have been my debut. And obviously, it was a derby, Leicester Coventry derby. And
it's proper scenes like on the video.
Yeah.
How was that derby like compared to the other derbies that you've played in?
It was quite big, you know. It was, it was a decent derby.
But is that their main derby, is it? Yeah.
I don't know how it works up there because Derby Forest, they don't like Derby Forest, and then you've got Coventry, and then you've sort of got like
Birmingham,
Wolves, Villa. There's loads of clubs around there, so I'm not really. I think the main ones were probably Derby and Forest, but I think the main Derby is Nottingham Forest and Derby.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
did you play in many Derby games in your career?
Yeah, played in a good few. The best one's probably Cardiff Swansea. That's a proper derby, that one.
Yeah, when we had Anthony Gerrard on, he was saying it's just mad.
No, it's a proper
derby. Yeah, he said he was in a bubble at that point where the fans had to go, like they couldn't go on their own accord. They had to go on the club coaches and that. Yeah.
Yeah, he's not lying. Everything's police. The motorways are shut. Police are scrolls all the way down.
That's mad, isn't
absolutely mental. Proper derby, they proper hate each other.
Yeah. So get it up for it. Do you like get up for it more? That cause of that.
Yeah, it's mad. It's like people say to me, "Oh, Liverpool Everton, big derby." I'm like, no, not really. Like obviously Liverpool Everton, but I said you could go to the game and someone sat next to you as a Everton fan or whatever, and they're in the ground. It's just it's not like a hatred, is it? Between them, but Cardiff Swansea, they hated each other. Literally hated each other. Never forget, when we played them. I don't know if you ever remember the lad that died in the plane crash, Salah.
Yeah.
So he died in the plane crash, and I never forget we played Swansea. I think it might have been the next season because we got relegated from the Prem that year.
Yeah.
The next season, and they were all taunting all that, and I was like, that's proper bad, that's proper hatred, innit?
Yeah.
And all doing the aeroplane signs and all that. And I was wow, that's mental. Do you know what I mean? Mad.
Yeah, mad that, like.
So after Leicester, why did you move on from Leicester again?
It was mad. It was absolutely mad. It's probably one of the regrets I have in my career.
Yeah.
I do, because at the time, I said, Sven was signing all these players. And when he signed me, he said, listen, I'm bringing in another right back. He said, you're going to be second choice to this right back, but I want you to prove yourself, you're a young player, blah, blah, blah. I was like, yes, Sam, no problem. And he's brought in John Pansel. Don't know if you'd ever remember him. Played for Fulham and West Ham in the Prem all this time. From Ghana, played in World Cup, everything.
Yeah.
And so he come in and he went great. And I ended up playing every single game. Even when Sven got sacked and Nigel Pearson come in, I was playing every game. And then after that, the next season, I come back thinking, I'm top man here. I played every game, done well and whatever. And Nigel Pearson said to me, listen, I'm bringing in another right back. And he brought in Richie Dilat from Man United. And they paid a good fee for him. And I sort of got a paddy on, do you know what I mean? I was young and whatever. And I sort of got a paddy on. I was like, oh, well, do you know what I mean? He doesn't trust me, sort of thing.
Yeah.
And which was wrong because Nigel Pearson's boss manager, he's just he loves competition and you know what I mean? I spat my dummy out and then Leeds come in for me.
Yeah.
And I was I thought Leeds was closer to home because obviously I was in Liverpool still. So I was coming up, there was a few lads from Manchester, Danny Drinkwater and all them. We used to just travel in together.
Yeah.
And then Leeds come in, I was like, wow, that's only an hour from man and that. Thinking of all massive club and whatever. I was like, yeah, go ahead, I'm going to go to Leeds then. And just ended up going to Leeds. They paid the fee that Leicester wanted.
Was it Warnock who took you there?
Yeah, it was Warnock, yeah.
But what's he like? He seems a character in life.
Yeah, he's boss, mate. Everything you see is what he is.
Everyone seems to love him, every player that's played.
Even still now, I still speak to him all the time.
Yeah.
And, like, if you do well for him, he looks after you, he's boss. Yeah.
Did they ever do anything like proper mad or funny in the changes and anything like that?
Yeah, loads. Like everything's like you think he's mad, you know, but he's not. He's so clever. Like,
yeah,
he's so clever. He's a great man. Man management is his thing. Do you know, like, about the game and that, he's not really bothered, like, tactics wise. Don't get me wrong, he'll give you a game plan of what to do, but his tactics is managing you. Yeah. So he'll have you ready to go to war for him, and you will go to war for him. Like, he'll have you where, mate, you'll just run through brick walls for him, and you can see his record tells you that as well.
Yeah, he's had loads of promotions, hasn't he?
Oh, loads.
I think if he got given like a team with money, I think that'd work as well.
I think he likes the underdog sort of. Like, do you know what I mean?
The workers.
He loves the grafters, like,
discipline. Yeah,
he'll have a team full of grafters, but like one or two like show ponies who will get you like a goal or whatever.
Yeah,
but he just loves it. Yeah, he's class, honestly.
Done that with him. What's his name? Yeah, Tarap.
Yeah, you should just let him turn up doing once, isn't that? Yeah,
but he's funny, mate. Honestly, he's so funny.
I buzz off that documentary done with Sheffield United.
That's exactly how he is, though.
Yeah,
that's exactly how he is. He's exactly like that. You know what I mean? Like, he'll just come up to you and he'll be like, fucking hell, pal. Like, he signed me at a few clubs. Yeah. So, like, when I first go in on the first day and he'll do, like, a team talk and he'll go, fucking hell, pal. He's like, fucking saved you again, haven't I? Fucking hell. Where would you be without me and all this? It's funny.
I'm convinced Paddy Kenny must be his, like, son.
Paddy's a good lad as well.
Yeah, so after Leeds, you left and went to Forest. But weren't there a bit of confusion over that transfer, something to do with the owners?
Yeah, that was mad. Because at Leeds, like I say, Warnock took me. And I was still young. I think I was about 25. And he made me captain there. And the thing is, it was like, at the time at Leeds, we were going through a mad, like, Ken Bates was trying to sell up. I think we were in an embargo or weren't getting paid. And it was just the club was in a little bit of a rut.
Yeah.
And the club is a huge club. The following is massive. Honestly, I couldn't believe it when I turned up. I didn't realise how big of a club it was. Like, we played like a friendly away somewhere and we got like 5,000 fans there. And it was just everywhere, like Leeds, it's just football, football, football. So he made me captain and we were going through like a bad time on and off the field. And I was young and I just didn't know how to deal with it. I weren't ready for it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I played at loads of games and all that. And because we weren't great and whatever, if I'm being honest, I didn't have the greatest time myself. I was playing left back most of the season and centre back, do you know what I mean? So it's not like an excuse, but I didn't have a great time myself. And so Brian Warnock got sacked. Brian McDermott come in.
Yeah.
Me and Brian, he took the captaincy off me. And put Ross McCormack captain, which I didn't mind.
Yeah,
I felt a bit of pressure off me at the time, but he sort of just bombed me after that. And I forget we finished the game. No, I'm lying. We were getting battered at half time, and we got in the changes, and he said, "Pels, you're off." And I was there fucking fuming. So I took my boot off, smashed it against the floor. Like, just head down, smashed the boot against the floor, and I bounced up and hit him. And he just looked at me, and I looked at him, and I thought, that's you done. You're done now. You're done. So anyway, after that, my head was gone after that night. I think it was like, might have been me. I think it was Conor Wickham, and I think it was Stevie Warnock. I can't remember fully. Went out after it, and I was having a few drinks, and in Leeds, you can't go anywhere, like, a quiet bar and whatever. And obviously, only went out for a few drinks and that. Next morning, I come in and the gaffer's like pulled me into the office and he's gone, was you out last night? I was like, yeah, only went out for a few. And he went, I never asked him how many you went out for. He said, was you out last night? I said, yeah. He said, what score did the game finish? It's like, we got beat 4, I think it was 4-0 or something. And I was like, yeah, we got beat at 4-0. And he said, and I didn't like your reaction toward at half time when I brought you off. And I said, well, I was frustrated. I was angry you brought me off. We were getting like tonked. Do you know what I mean? What do you want me to do? Sit there and smile at you? So anyway, he just said, like, listen, you can go, whatever. So I said, sir, no problem, I'll go. Do you know what I mean? So within that day, it was mad. Obviously, thinking of it now, I was absolutely mental. So within that day, I spoke to my agent. And my agent, I said, listen, he said I can go. I said, he was like, you can only go on loan somewhere. So I said, sound, yeah, just get me out. I want to go on loan. So he rings me back a couple of hours. He said, you never guess what? I said, what? He said, Warnock's getting the Forest job. I said, is he? He said, yeah, and he wants to sign you. I said, sound. And I'm after that all day. Forest, massive club again.
Yeah.
It was like fucking unbelievable. So he said, I get him to ring you now. So Warnock rang me. He said, hiya, son. He said, just in the pub. He said, I'm just waiting for the final little bits and bobs of this contract. He said, I'm just right near the training ground. Someone's going to pop over. He said, you make your way down now. Get everything sorted. And by the time you're sorted, my thing will be sorted. My contract and all that. So I said, Sam, brilliant. Flew right across to Nottingham. Said to the gaffer, and I'm gone. I'm going to Nottingham. Flew down to Nottingham, me and my agent. And went into like the reception and that. And everyone's just staring at me. I'm like, this is weird. I'm like to my agent, this is weird. No one's come out or done anything or asked anything. Everyone's just walking past staring at me. So my agent goes up and says, Lee Peltier's here, he's going to sign. He said, oh yeah, just give us a few minutes. The chairman, I think it was Fawazi, I think he was like a Saudi fella or something like that at the time. He was meant to be mad. Well, he was mad. He said, he'd be out with you in a minute. I was gone now. So I've rang Warnock, said, listen, what's going on here? He said, oh, son, just give me 5 minutes. We're just sorting out all the last little bits and whatever. So as the phone's gone down, this Fawaz has come out and goes, hi, Lee, da-da-da, whatever, come into the office, let's get this sorted. So I said, sound, yeah, gone into the office. He said, yeah, loan, whatever. And I found this strange because he was like, where'd you play? I was like, what do you mean? He's like, what position do you play? He was like, I see you in the centre mid. And I was like, centre mid? I was like, centre mid? I haven't played centre mid since I was a kid. I was like, yeah, I was like, I didn't want to say no, I can't do it. I was like, yeah, I can do a job there. And he was like, yeah, sound. So I'm looking at my agent thinking, it's mad this. So anyway, signed all the documents and all that. As I've signed it, he goes, oh yeah, just for to tell you. He said, Neil Warnock won't be coming to the club now. We've changed our mind, we're not having him. So I'm like, what do you mean? He was like, yeah, we're not having him. So I've come out the room now with my agent. My agent's like, what the hell's going on here? He's rang Warnock and he said, yeah, I don't know what's going on, whatever. He said, go in there and just cancel it. He said, because obviously I'm not down there. And at the time I had Bolton in for me as well. So I was like, oh, I'll just go to Bolton now. Yeah. So I was like to my agent, ring Dougie, I think it was Dougie Freeman who was in charge. Ring Dougie Freeman and tell him we're coming down now, we're signing there. So we've gone back in to say, listen, cancel them papers. And he was just like, no. Just wouldn't cancel them, so I had to stay there. So just, do you know what, like, it was, I had a great time there, do you know what I mean? It was a great club, but it was just the maddest transfer ever.
Well, I've never heard of a transfer
surely
like
that's
them.
Illegal to make you... Surely you're able to cancel.
I'd signed the documents and he was processing.
Yeah, but if you were saying you don't want to play for the club, surely he wouldn't want you there.
No,
then.
But if he, I don't
that's
know.
Mad.
Anyway, ended up staying there. And had a good time there, to be fair. Had a good time, played all the games in centre mid as well. And,
weren't Stuart Pearce manager at one point?
He was managing next season, to be fair. I'd done well there. And the next season, Stuart, they never had a manager until the end of the season. So, like the academy caretaker manager come in, and he was just running it, which was sound. And then at the end of the season, when I left to go back to Leeds, I knew we weren't going to stay at Leeds. And all the people at Forest wanted me to sign a new contract. But then when Stuart Pearce come in, he had his own ideas now. So, ended up didn't work out, but I was happy. In the end, I was happy to stay there.
Yeah.
So when you go back to Leeds, do you have to like go back into training then, or would you?
You have to go back. And then when I went back to Leeds, we had that mental fella, that Cellini, he was mad, mate. He used to just sack players because of the numbers of the shirts they liked and stuff like that. He was absolute mental. So I went back there, and I remember going into the room. And he had like a spreadsheet of everyone's name on there. It's like chain smoking, just stunk, couldn't even see him. Just like behind a big smoke thing. And he just went to me, name. He didn't even know. I was like, Lee Peltier. And he just went across this thing and went, yeah, too much money, you can go. And that was it.
How did you even react to that?
Do you know what? Like, before it was my turn to go in, a few of the lads were coming out saying, mate, that fella's mad in there. You know, he said it to a few of the lads and that. And to be fair, I wanted to go in that.
Yeah.
And I think we just terminated the contract, didn't ask for any money or anything like that. We already had something in the pipeline to go. Like, literally drove half an hour down the road back to Huddersfield on the same day. So I terminated, drove down the road and signed at Huddersfield.
Yeah, you were only there for a short-term spell, weren't you, again at Huddersfield and then Cardiff?
Yeah, it was... When I went back to Huddersfield, I said I had a great relationship with Dean Oyle, the owner.
Yeah.
So on the way, when I'd finished that Leeds, he rang me, or we rang him or whatever, and he said, just come in and have a chat with me. And at the time, my best mate, James Vaughan, he was there, and he was like, listen, we want you, you know, like, come and sign me and you, lad, we'll have a laugh and all this. And I just bought into it because he was there as well. I was like, yeah, it'd be class this. And I loved Huddersfield anyway. I'd like had the best time there. And they always say, don't they, never go back.
Yeah.
And I went back and it just didn't work out the way it should have. Do you know what I mean? I think Chris Powell come in at the time as manager and that, and we just didn't see eye to eye. I got injured early. No, sorry, Mark Robbins was there. Mark Robbins signed me and I played and then... I got injured and then Chris Powell come in and he played one of the younger lads and he done really well, to be fair to him. So he was just like, and I just said I spoke to the chairman. I just said, listen, I'm not going to be sitting around here. Do you know what I mean? I said, don't want to waste your time and I don't want to waste mine. And then that's when Cardiff come in for me.
Yeah.
So then went up to there.
Got promotion to the Premier League of Cardiff.
Yeah, Cardiff was great. I had 5 years down there, which was mad because it just went like that. And it's one of the clubs that I was there before Warnock, by the way. I got into Cardiff. Cardiff was great. He was, I don't know if you remember Craig Noon, Scouser.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Nick Noon, he was there. So I had a few mates up there as well, like Nicky Maynard and Andy Pilkington, who had been at Huddersfield with. It was just as Oli Solskjaer got sacked.
From
Cardiff, I went like on that week when he got sacked. And to be fair, it was a little bit of a rebuild job there, but it was a massive club down there. Cardiff's the capital in it. Was
Vincent Tan the owner then?
Yeah. He's still the owner, yeah.
Because at the start, were you there when they changed colour to red?
I'd just come after that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was one of the maddest things what you do at Cardiff. But he's mad then, mate. He's mad.
Is he still there, is he?
Yeah, he's still there. Mate, he used to come at the start of every season, pre-season, and call a meeting with the lads. And he used to come in, had his pants up to there, and he was mad. He used to say, I want everyone to shoot. He said, the more you shoot, obviously, the more goals you score. And then he'd put a video clip of people scoring from past the halfway line. And he'd be like, yes, this is what I need you to do. And he'd do it every single year. And then the fella there used to go out with, because they were dead religious and that, they used to go out with, rice and throw rice and burn stuff on the pitch and stuff like that. And they had, a little bit of a prayer room, I think, with, all Buddhas. I never went in there, all Buddhas and stuff and that in there. And they used to get some of the strikers to go in and pray before games to score goals and that. And the lads were like, what's going on? But the year we went up, they done it. So everyone was like, yeah, I'm going up there. Do you know what I mean? But he was, do you know what? To be fair to him, though, he pumped some money into that club.
Yeah.
He's pumped serious money into the club. Do you know what I mean? So, and I think it's just where it is at the minute. It's not in a really good place.
Yeah.
But my 5 years there was brilliant. Fans, unbelievable.
Yeah.
Stadium, unbelievable. You know, the lads and that down there. And I think, obviously, I loved it up there just because I was successful down there, got promoted to the Prem.
Would you say that's the highlight of your career, getting promotion to the Premier League?
Probably, yeah, because it was just at the right age. I mean, it was an age where I'd thought I'd never get to the Prem. Yeah, do you know what I mean? This is me. This is my sort of level. The only way I'm going to get to the Prem is if I get a promotion.
Yeah.
And that year, mate, we just absolutely took off. It was unbelievable. I think it was us and Wolves just went at it all season. Just bang, relentless it was. And our team was like solid, just full of men, like solid 1-0 every single week. Yeah. Knew what you were getting.
Yeah.
And it was just boss. Like, and I'll never forget the final day. Like, I had all my family there, the kids there. And it was just like carnage. Like, you were like a hero in the town, do you know what I mean? It was just boss. And I say it's like history in it. So it was great, yeah.
What was the next season like after that when you went up?
It was boss. Yeah, we were in the, obviously went up to the Prem. And it was like, the first half of the season was mad because it was just surreal. And I think everyone was just like, wow, we're going here. Like, I'm not really giving it, like, listen, we're in this league. Let's try and stay in it. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It was just more, oh, yes, we're here. Do you know what I mean? Like, everything's great. So we're going to these stadiums, playing Liverpool, Everton, whoever it was. And then, to be fair, we started getting a few results and stuff like that. And in the end, we got relegated. But I think it was only by couple of points. I think we just missed out.
Yeah, the Cardiff were probably unlucky that season. They had that game against Chelsea.
Yeah, that was the one.
Cardiff were 1-0 up and then they scored two goals.
Yeah, offside. Oh, yeah. And that sort of killed us, you know what I mean? And you learn Neil Warnock talk about it now and he always goes back to them mistakes from the referee at the time. But obviously, like, now you've got VAR and you're just like, oh, that would never have stood, you know what I mean? And we would have, might have still stayed in the Prem.
Yeah.
Who was the best players you played against that season?
Mine was Hazard.
Yeah?
Yeah, Hazard was ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. He was just like so small, but so strong, and so quick. And I think that he was in the best form of his life when we played. And
did they win the league that season?
Do you know what? I can't remember. Can't even remember. I'm not sure. I was too busy looking at the bottom. No, but yeah, him, Leroy Sané as well. He was mad. He was really good.
He was a player at City.
Yeah, he was so fast.
I don't know why they let him go, to be
honest. Never forget, I dislocated my shoulder playing against Sané, and he absolutely skinned me, and he was just off. And I was like trying to catch him, I weren't catching him, I'm falling, and I thought, I'll grab his foot here because he's and I end up trying to grab his foot, missed his foot, he was that fast, fell like that, dislocated me in my shoulder, and was just out for like months. But he was really good, played against him a couple of times. De Bruyne, all the ones you see, they are actually that good.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Mane, he was ridiculous.
You were talking about them in the dressing room before, like sort of like, oh, I don't know what to do with him today, like...
A little bit, yeah. Like you'll have banter, you'll have banter with each other. Do you know what I mean? Like the lads be like, ah, all the best against Mané today, lad. I'm leaving you 1v1. I'm like, ah, you fuck, mate. You're doubling up here with me, mate. But like with that banter, but you know when you're coming up against players like that, you just know how good they are. Like obviously the best players in the world.
Did you play with him, Umar Niasse? Yeah,
he was mad, him, mate. Oh, lad, he was mad, him. Never forget, I come to training one time, he was asleep in his car. It was like 8 o'clock in the morning. So, what are you doing? He said the hotel was shut. The hotel's next door. He got in his car and went to sleep. I don't think he didn't do that great there. You know, at the first couple of games, he was a bit of a handful, but like he just couldn't score. Couldn't score. And then we played West Ham and he had like 3 or 4 like opportunities where he could have just scored and he just didn't score. But he was a sound fella though.
Yeah,
he was a good fella. We had some mad players at that at Cardiff. Remember Chamach? We had Chamach there. Kieran Richardson, he come there.
What's Chamach like?
Do you know what? He was only there for about a month.
He's a bit of a meme, isn't he?
He was there for about a month. He didn't really do anything, to be fair. Not at all. I think he just comes to obviously try and get a payday and just didn't work.
Do you see a lot of players like sort of you can tell that they're coming just for a payday?
To be fair, some of you think, well, why are you coming here? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, why have you come? But I don't know if they just love footy or I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Like, some generally love football.
Yeah.
And some just come for money. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So I couldn't say which one.
What was the best result that season, would you say, for yourself?
Let me think.
You play in Anfield?
I was injured. Anfield, played at Cardiff though.
Yeah.
I think we drew 1-1 at Anfield. I think Callum Patterson scored like a mad. Might have been 1-1.
Yeah.
Can you just beat Man United away 2-0?
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah.
Can I have a look if you want. What year was it?
No, it was that game. It was the last game of the season. Yeah. I remember that because I played centre mid against Pogba. And I think it was one of Mason Greenwood's first games.
Was it? Yeah.
And he was absolutely lively. That was probably. But probably the biggest result is we went to Brighton and beat them 2-1 and like kept us in, you know, the mixers. When we played Man United, it was done. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I think that was one of the most important results in terms of staying in the league against Brighton away. I think we won 2-1. Mendes Lang scored a screamer late on. Probably then,
I think he just beat Wolves that season 2-1 as well, where Junior Hoylett scored that like ridiculous goal.
Was that like the cross?
Yeah.
Did he cut? I can't remember.
He sort of cuts in.
And he hits it and it goes top corner.
Yeah.
I think I remember that one. Yeah, but I'd say Brighton, definitely.
Yeah,
just because of the importance of the game. Mm. Yeah.
Was it hard to leave Cardiff after 5 years then? Or did you feel like it was time to move on to
Honestly, like, another little regret of mine is the way I left Cardiff, because I had 5 unbelievable years there. And it was Neil Warnock left. And as Neil Warnock left, we were in the discussion over a new contract. I was about to sign a new contract there. And a new manager come in, Neil Harris, and he took over. Never forget the first day he come in, he was like, he come over to me and that, he said, like, pelts and blah, blah, blah. He said, I know the situation with your contract and that. He said, don't worry, we'll get it sorted. He said, but just let me get my feet under the table and let me get to sort of January to see what I'm doing and that, but we'll get it sorted. Anyway, it didn't materialise for whatever reason, and me and the manager, I can say it now because I've left, but me and the manager fell out over the contract. I thought he was a bit disrespectful towards me, like in the way he'd done it, do you know what I mean? And we sort of didn't see eye to eye, only on the contract, because up until then I played every game for him. So I was like, why are you being like this, do you know what I mean? So I was like, there's no need to disrespect me, do you know what I mean? Like, I was at a point in my career where I was like, you know, if I have to leave, I have to leave. But it didn't really bother me, but I did want to stay. And then we sort of fell out. And then, to be fair, the phone rang and West Brom, Slaven Bilic rang me. I said, listen, he said, we're flying at the minute. They were like top of the champ. He said, we're flying. He said, we've had a few injuries. And it was actually mental, because the game we played was... He left me out the squad, Neil Harris, for the 2 or 3 weeks where we weren't seeing eye to eye. And the last game he put me in the squad was against West Brom at Cardiff. And that day, Slaven Bilic rang me and said, listen, I want you to come down, need a bit of experience, this, that, the other. I was like, how mad's that? So I ended up saying, like, obviously, listen, I'm not coming. I'm leaving. And because I had a great relationship with all... everyone at the club, the chairman, everyone, they said, fair enough, like, because you've been a good servant to the club, we'll do this and terminate your contract. So didn't get to say bye to the fans and that, you know what I mean? Which was hard, because listen, I've been back there as on the opposite team, but as a Cardiff player, didn't get to say bye, and the fans were absolutely unbelievable with me, and I loved every minute at Cardiff. So that was the sour bit at Cardiff. Didn't really like the way I left, but I couldn't say no to the opportunity of going to West Brom.
So
West Brom in the Premier League at that time?
No, they were at the top of the Championship. Yeah. They got promoted that year.
Yeah.
So then literally just drove down there and went to West Brom.
Yeah. Why do you think he was like such a good man manager, Bilic? Like then, and Warnock. Do you prefer someone that's like that rather than maybe like a tactician type thing?
Yeah, I think you get, for me personally, I think you'll get more out of the player.
Yeah.
Because you know they like care about you. And I'm not saying we need to know they care, do you know what I mean? But it's nice, isn't it, to know, like one thing with Neil Warnock, what he done at Cardiff, he made it like a proper family club. So he'd go mad if we went out now, if I said I was out with you two now and someone had told him I was out, he'd go mad.
Yeah.
But if I said I was out with me bird, the lads and their birds, he'd be like, yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
He wouldn't care. If he made it like proper family, everything you have to do with your missuses and all that, you know what I mean? Yeah. He'd come, he'd organise like food for us to go out to restaurants, and he'd come with his wife, eat with us, pay the bill and just get off and just say, go ahead, enjoy your night. He was boss, honestly, yeah. mate, like stuff like that. He was boss, like all the girls, like all the, you know, like you see clicks now, all the girls were just dead close. And it's true what he says. If you listen to what he says all his teams now, what he's had, the ones that he's been successful with, all have reunions because he created like friendship between them. And like, as I said, you'd look to your right and your left and you'd be like, yeah, we know we're ready today.
Yeah, it's together.
No, like you wouldn't look and go, oh, don't know if he fancies it or whatever.
Yeah.
You'd look and he just created like monsters.
Yeah.
And even now, some of my best mates are from Cardiff. Do you know what I mean? Like, my missus's best mates are from Cardiff. Do you know what I mean? Like what he created was mad.
So after West Brom, you went to Middlesbrough, didn't it? After that?
With the Warnock again. Yeah. to be fair, mate, like the West Brom one was mad. I knew what I was going for. Like he said, Slaven was so straight up. He was a bit similar to Warnock. He was so straight up with me and treated me so well and good. No, like usually when you're out squads and you're like, oh, like get a bit of a. But he was just boss with me, like with everyone. So when I signed for West Brom, he said to me, listen, just the deal to the end of the season. He said, we've had a few injuries. At the time, there was a kid called Nathan Ferguson and he was going to go to Crystal Palace. I think he moved for big money, 10 million quid he moved for. And he said, we just need like backup, someone round the place who's going to be great round the place, bit of experience, and when you're needed, you're ready to go in. And in the end, I didn't end up playing a game. I was on the bench now, but I didn't play a game from the January till the end of the season when we got promoted. So when after the season, like towards the end of the season when we sort of knew we were getting promoted, I was thinking, time's up here, do you know what I mean? Like, I haven't played the game. But all the lads loved me. Like, I was good around the place. The gaffer loved me, Slav loved me. They all loved me around there. And he come up to me and he just said, listen, I know you haven't played now, but we just love you, like, around the place and you train well, you do everything well for us and that. He said, we want to offer you another year, even if we go up to the Prem or stay down here. I was like, fucking hell, fair play, do you know what I mean? So we ended up signing another year. In the Prem with the lads and all that, but it was when it was the start of lockdown, wasn't it, that year? And it was mad because we were in the Prem and obviously they'd just been promoted. There was no promotion party, there was no like, do you know what I mean? It was a bit like Liverpool when they won the league, do you know? It was a bit. And then we went into the Prem, obviously COVID again, and no fans or nothing like that. So I'd done a year with them in the Prem. Sam Allardyce come in. They sacked Slav. I don't know why they sacked Slav, but Sam Allardyce come into West Brom. He was mental. He was a crazy fella. Good guy though.
Yeah,
good guy. Really good guy. And Sammy Lee.
Yeah, they were at Everton.
Them two.
Shakespeare there as well.
Shakespeare. No, but I had him at Leicester.
Yeah,
he went there. No, it was Sammy Lee and Sam. But anyway, I ended up getting relegated. I left after that year.
What was it like being in the stadiums then with like no fans?
It was just crap.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like the buzz of going out in front of fans and that, like you can't get anything like it.
Yeah,
you know, to get you up for a game. And like I know people say, oh, shouldn't have to get you up for a game, but when you're going out, like you want to be performing in front of people. Do you know what I mean? You're the atmosphere. Yeah. The boos, the cheers, whatever, do you know what I mean? Fans make football.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Without them, it was just like, a training session. Yeah.
I feel was it half pointless? Do you feel like it was just, why am I even?
It weren't pointless. It was just, it was not on the same level or anywhere near the level of a competitive Premier League
football.
Imagine
when you won, you wouldn't couldn't even enjoy it.
It was the whole thing was mad because you're like in different like changing rooms, you're like, only so many allowed in that changing room and so many in that changing room. Like masks everywhere, passes, and it was just testing every single day.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, it's crap. That time was crap, you know what I mean? But the best part was when West Brom played Liverpool. Remember when Alisson scored the other?
Oh, yeah.
So I was on the bench in that game. Absolutely unbelievable. Do you know, like he was coming off with it, the corner, and you could half see it, And I'm sitting here talking to one of the coaches. And he's like, this league's mad. And he's like, Liverpool battered us here and we're going to end up getting a draw out of this thing last minute. And they get a corner and you see him running up. And it was like the sea parted. It just went like that. The ball come in and he just went boom. And I'm a big fan. I was nearly half like jumping. You know, like, it was a surreal moment. Like, yeah. And he needed to win that to get in the Champions League.
Yeah.
Remember when he had all the injuries at the back and that Phillips and Reece Williams were playing at the back, weren't they? And it was absolutely unbelievable. That, and I was like, to be involved in that, it was like mad. But that was COVID. Imagine that the fans were in the stadium for that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It was mad. But anyway, I ended up leaving West Brom after that. I'd done 18 months there. And do you know what? The majority of clubs I've been at have been boss clubs, mate. Like, I've had great times at the clubs I've been at.
So obviously Middlesbrough after that then.
Yeah.
Yeah, what was that like then?
I was boss. That was great. Massive club again. Up that northeast, is it? Yeah, in the northeast. Grave went up there. Warnock rang me and he said, what are you doing? He said, get yourself down here. He said, could do with someone like you in the change rooms and blah, blah. Same again, because I'm coming to the back end of my career now. He's like, I could do with someone like you in the change rooms. You're not going to play every game, whatever, but just get yourself down here. Because of him, I just go, yes, sir, no problem.
Yeah.
Went up there, facilities, unbelievable. Middlesbrough fans, again, unbelievable. Stadium, great. And it was a good time, yeah. But he only lasted about up until the Christmas, and then Chris Wilder come in. And to be fair, Chris Wilder done really well with us up until the last game. We needed to win the last game of the season to get in the playoffs. So, and we got beat by Preston. But it was good. I had a great season there. And then at the end of it, I think Chris, like, obviously coming to the back end of my career, he was just like, listen, he was boss. Like, he was good. He was sound with me. He was honest with me. He just said, listen, he just said, need to get new players in, going to get a fresh batch in. Obviously, I weren't his player. I was Neil Warnock player. But he was like, listen, I appreciate everything you've done and what have you not. And then I just thought, you know what? Sam, no problem. And after that, I was going to retire. I thought, I'm 35 now. Done everything I can imagine to do in my career. Like, dreams that I never thought had happened have happened.
Yeah.
Thought, what a way to finish, like, at Middlesbrough. Had a great time. Left on good terms. Just missed out on the playoffs. I thought, you know what, I'm done. But then, obviously, the time goes and you're humming and ahhing and humming and ahhing. I'm on holiday. After all the holidays and I finish, you come back home and you're sitting there just don't know what to do with yourself.
Yeah.
Going to the gym, running around, doing whatever, keeping yourself fit. And then I was training at a facility. I don't know if you know it, down in Speak. It's called R4P. It's like a sports facility. And the tied in with Stephen Gerrard's foundation thing, academy. And I was training down there, and there was a few lads in my situation in terms of didn't have a club, didn't know what they wanted to do, same sort of age. It was like me, Danny Simpson, you know, from Leicester, United. James Chester, if you remember him, from Aston Villa, centre-half.
Hull.
Who else was there? Robbie Brady, same again. So we were all training together and we were just all keeping fit sort of thing. Like, if anything comes, we sort of went, do you know what I mean? If something right comes, or might have a little go. And then to be fit, and Fabio Barini was there, but he had a club in Turkey. So we were all training together for like 6 weeks. And at the start, everyone's like, all of us like, I'll be asked to play no more. I'm happy doing this, like, just keeping fit, but just in case, we'll carry on, won't we? And it just started getting smaller and smaller in the group. Like, Chessy went to Derby, Robbie went to Preston, Fabio went back, and the group was getting smaller. And I was sort of the last one.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, what am I going to do here? And to be fair, the phone was still ringing, like, clubs interested in that. And an old pal of mine, Paul Warren, who I played with at Yeovil, was the Rotherham manager. And he rings me and he goes, come down, just have a chat with me and that. So I was like, do you know what? Like, Rotherham had just come up and, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He just come up and I I was like, I don't know, like, still a bit far the distance and that, you know what I mean? I was like, I'm not moving. My kids are in school and settled. Everyone's settled. I'm not moving anywhere. So I drive up there about an hour and a half. And he's chatting to me, whatever. And in the end, he's just talking to me. I end up saying, yeah. End up signing another year there, and I'm still there now. So, yeah, still going. Still going.
What sort of targets this season for Rotherham then?
Just to stay up, probably. Yeah. They've been too much of a yo-yo club in terms of they'll get promoted and go back down. Mm. But we've hit a bit of a sticky patch at the minute. We started really well, eighth and unbeaten, and then up until World Cup break. Then after the World Cup break, we've just capitulated. But I think we'll be all right. We're going to make a few signings. We've just signed Sean Marison. He was at Cardiff with me, the Cardiff captain, today. So he'll be a good addition, you know. And I hope we do stay up, because there's good lads there and the club's a good club. Mm. Like, it's a small club, but they try and do everything proper. Do you know what I mean? And there's genuine people there that you want to do well for. Do you know what I mean? So,
you caretaker manager at one point. Yeah. What was that like?
So obviously the manager, Paul Warne, he went to Derby. Derby come call on you go, don't you? Massive club. So it was international break. I was going away, I was in France, and I get a text message on my phone saying, on Monday you're taking the team with Richard Wood. What? What's happening here? So anyway, spoke to the football director and he said, listen, he's gone, the manager's gone, we've got nothing in place. He said, you and Richard Wood are going to take over from Monday. I said, what do you mean take over? What do you mean by take over? Yeah, do the training sessions and all that. I'm sitting there thinking, never done a training session in my life. I've done my coaching badges, but never done, like, do you know what I mean, with the lads and all that. I'm a player.
Yeah.
So anyway, I ended up going in on the I think it was like the Tuesday. Me and Woody like met up and we was writing in the notepads and all that, we'll do this session and all that. Thought I was pepped, didn't I? So anyway, I was injured as well, to be fair. And we played there Wigan. And Woody wanted to play. It was hard, to be fair, because we were both playing. And that week we were trying to train and put sessions on at the same time. It was just so hard, you know, like you're trying to run and like blowing the whistle as you're playing and all that. It was just hard. So halfway through the week, I said, Woody, we can't both be doing this. You know what I mean? One of us are going to sit out. And I was just coming back from injury, and Woody wanted to play. So I was like, listen, I'll just stand on the side and you can play. So when the game came, it was like, all the lads were just giving me bants and that, like, I'm going to put a suit on and all that. I nearly put a suit on the night to stand on the side. But do you know what? It was a great experience. I enjoyed it, to be fair. And it was something that could happen later on in me. Well, not later on, after I finished playing.
Is that something that you think you're going to go?
Not 100% on it, mate, no. I like the idea of going in and helping kids. Yeah. I don't know I don't know if it's a coaching. Yeah. I don't know if I want to go in and sort of be a mentor, not sort of like an agent, but more of a mentor and guiding and helping lads. Yeah. I don't think people realise how hard it is for lads who are coming through as professional footballers, but giving so much money. Do you know what I mean? It's like people say, oh, you're a footballer, you're getting this money and that money. Do you know what I mean? Can you imagine being an 18-year-old kid on so much money and no one telling you what to do with it or whatever, do you know what I mean? It's mad, and people wonder why the lads are the way they are these days, you know what I mean? Because as they say, I know it's not so much fame, but in football, it's probably worse than drugs, mate. You can get whatever you want, when you want, when you're a footballer, in terms of at a good level, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kids can pick up the phone, do whatever they want, get what they want. It's a different world.
Yeah.
So maybe in some capacity, some sort of mentoring. Don't know, maybe coaching. My brother's got an academy down here where he does a lot with the kids in the community in terms of coaching them and helping them towards going to academies and stuff like that. So he's got really a successful sort of academy building at the minute.
What's that called for like anyone watching at home?
It's called Vision FDA. They got their own pitches. Like he's invested a lot into like having 3G pitches, 4G pitches for the kids. And what he's doing is really good. And it's helping another way of helping keeping kids off the streets because he's going into schools and doing one-to-one sessions, putting a load of things on for kids and that. So maybe something like go and help him in doing that. But we'll see. At the minute, I still feel good. Still feel like I can carry on playing.
Yeah.
I've always said to myself, once I start feeling I can't play, I'm sort of not making a show of myself, but you know when people are like, oh, his legs are gone. You know, people start talking. And it's a shame, really, because you've had all that career and then people remember you for, oh, look, there's Lee there. His legs are gone now.
Yeah,
I don't want to leave like that. But so as soon as I start feeling that way, I'll just knock it on the head. And as I said, I sort of achieved everything I wanted to achieve from a kid to now. So I can't really ask for much more.
Yeah.
Who's the best player you've played with?
Stevie G.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, hands down. Absolutely. No, like, I will sit there and argue with anybody when they say to me, like, Scholes or Lampard or whoever. I'm like, Stevie G was the best. In my era, anyway. You know, people talk about it. I only go off what I seen. So from what I seen, Stevie G is the best by a mile.
Yeah.
He was unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I wrote second best. How does Alonso compare to Gerrard, like technically?
I was just going to say, probably Alonso, you know. Absolutely left foot, right foot, singing it everywhere. But obviously, Stevie just had that. I don't think Alonso had that bite, like that aggression, do you know what I mean? He was just lovely to watch, weren't he? Like on the eye.
Yeah.
A bit like Thiago now, you know, like on you're like, oh wow, he's amazing. Yeah. Well, Stevie could do that, but then just go and smash someone or chase someone down and smash them, do you know what I mean? And then hit a 40-yard diag or whatever, or score a top in. Like for me, the most all rounder player, Stevie, you could put him at right back, he'd be the best.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? You could put him centre back, he'd be he was just a good footy player.
His mentality just seemed mad, didn't it?
He's proper winning.
You know what though? Like, he was dead quiet, you know.
Was he?
Yeah, he wasn't like one that would go around shouting and all that. Then Carragher was the one who used to talk and get the lads going or whatever. Yeah. Stevie used to just do it. And if you see someone like that doing what he's doing, it just inspires it motivates you, do you know what I mean? And like, obviously, as a supporter and as someone playing with him. It was just like, some of the balls, like some stuff he does. He's just like, Jesus Christ, that's mental. Mm. You know what I mean? So I'd have to say, Stevie was the best, and I'd probably go Alonso.
Yeah,
but like that, you're talking elite level of football, aren't you? Like championships nowhere near that sort of level. You know, of them players, but obviously it's still really. Level.
If you had to like build a five-a-side team of the players that you played with, who would it be?
You know what? I'm going to take away the Liverpool players because it'd be easy for me to do you know what I mean? Like, so I'm going to go from where I've spent my career most of the time. Do you know what I mean? On players I've played with a lot more than them. Goalie. Start with the goalie. You were saying. Kasper Schmeichel.
Yeah.
Definitely her. Unbelievable.
He's a boss career, hasn't he, him now?
Unbelievable career, but he's actually unbelievable goalie. Like he's kicking and all. Yeah. Like he's like second to none. I think like he could easily be in a top four club if he really wanted to, but I think he's been so loyal and like such a I was going to say Leicester, he's not even at Leicester anymore, but he was so loyal at Leicester and the things he's achieved there.
Yeah,
I remember I signed with him the same year as him at Leicester, so what he's gone on to achieve is mad, and it's mad because his mentality is like he'd go mad if you're losing or he'd be kicking off, he'd be punching walls, and his mentality was just a winner's mentality, and I suppose he just got that from his dad.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like when he trained, you come into training, his dad would just be stood next to the goal, just watching him train. So it was the pressure on him
must
have been high, and to reach that, like, to reach what his dad's reached. I'm not saying he was as good as his dad or whatever, but won the Premier League, played for the country, World Cups, yeah, whatever. Absolutely unbelievable. So say him. At the back, I want to go for Sean Morrison. He just signed at Cardiff, but obviously at Cardiff, me and him spent 5 years playing next to each other. I was right back, he was right sided, and we were good. Like, we were just solid, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's been one of the best centre backs in the Championship for the past 10 years in terms of what he's give, and as a captain, everything, leadership skills, scoring vital goals. I go Sean Morrison at the back. What formation we're playing? Centre mid, I'm gonna have to go with. I'm gonna have to put Aaron Gunnarsson in there.
Yeah,
yeah.
Icelander captain. Mm. He was unbelievable. He's one of them players where you don't realise how good he is until you played with him.
Yeah.
Like, just do all the horrible things.
Is that Cardiff too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Used to just do all the horrible things like really well.
Yeah.
On the wing, I'd have to say Mateus Pereira. West Brom.
Yeah.
He was good.
Brazilian?
Yeah.
Did he score at Stamford Bridge? Yeah. I think it was free.
I think he scored an hat-trick, but he was good, man.
Remember him, yeah.
Didn't he end up going to
China or something?
Oh, he went to Saudi,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
And got like a mega contract. But I remember at the time when we were in the Prem, I think he scored like 9 goals or something. Like, by the time, I'm not sure if it was January or. Anyway, like Arsenal and all that were linked to him, like Man U and all that. He was a serious player, mate. Like, just typical, like, Brazilian, but, like, he was good left footer.
Yeah.
He was really good. On the other side, I'd have to go. That's an hard one, I think. Well, I'll have to go Mendes Lang. He got promoted with us as well, but it was mad because he started off at Wolves and all that as a kid, and he lost his way a bit. And this is what I mean about Neil Warnock. He was at Rochdale in League Two, I think, doing all right. And he was on a free at the end of the contract. And at the time, he was a bit going out and doing all the laddie sort of stuff and whatever. And obviously, Neil Warnock seen something in him. Mm. He said, listen, come up to Cardiff this season, and bought him for like $100,000 or whatever. And he said, like, listen, I'm going to have you like firing. By the time the season started, he just hit the ground running. Unbelievable he was. That season, he was class. Like, all the Premier League clubs were coming in for him and whatever. And he'd done really well. I'll have to say David Nugent.
Yeah.
And I think his record speaks for itself in terms of, I think he scored the most goals for a striker in the Championship or something mad like that. But he was a good player.
Where you play with him? Leicester?
Leicester, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a great lad. So yeah.
Is he from Liverpool?
Yeah, he's from Liverpool, yeah. He's from Eton.
Is he
here? Yeah.
Play for England, isn't he?
Yeah, one scored goal, that one goal.
Yeah, oh, the goal. The
best goal ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, the great lad. You know what? I was in Dubai on the last international break, and the Leicester lads had the Leicester Legends game in Dubai. So all the lads were like, Nuge was over there, like, I don't know if you remember, Neil Danz.
Yeah, yeah.
He's just got the Macclesfield job, I think, today.
Yeah,
he's scouting, and all them were over there for the game, and I met them one day, and I hadn't seen Nuge for ages. And yeah, I seen him, and I was like, he's retired and all that now. So I was just like, smile.
I thought he was at Preston. Was that last season?
No, that was last year.
Is he retired
this year, yeah. But he's a good lad, like, and no, I just love seeing the Scousers do well, do you know what I mean? Like, and go on. So I've like, you've got Aaron Creswell and all that. Like, people don't realise how good of a career he's had down at West Ham, do you know what I mean? Absolutely smashed it.
Yeah.
Down at West Ham, been in the Prem, all his, do you know what I mean? Like, there's loads knocking about, and it's just good to see them all do well, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Any more questions? Yeah,
what's your favourite pint?
Pint?
Yeah.
I'm not really a beer drinker, but I have to say a Peroni.
Shout out.
A Peroni Shandy, probably.
Yeah.
But probably a Peroni. Well, I'll probably have a bottle of Corona or whatever, not really a big beer drinker.
Yeah.
But if I had to have a pint, I'd probably have one of them, because I haven't probably tasted anything.
Well, nice one for coming on, really appreciate that. For anyone watching, don't forget to like and subscribe. Also, there's still tickets for our live show, so get down there.
And the link's in the description. And you can also give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify or any other audio platforms. Thanks a lot, and we hope you enjoyed it.